everyone, and welcome to the Health Nuts podcast with certified holistic nutrition consultants, Mary Vance and Caitlin Weeks. Our goal is to dispel mainstream nutrition myths and bring you the best in holistic health and real food education. So I'm very excited about our show today because this is a topic near and dear to my heart. We have a special guest, Brittany Watkins. She is an EFT expert, emotional freedom technique, and her website is skinnyjeans.net. We're going to get into that in a little bit, but before we get started, I'm going to read our disclaimer and say hi to Caitlin. Are you there, Caitlin?
Hi, Mary. How are you?
Doing well, drinking some tea and eating the gluten-free, dairy-free, egg-free, everything-free except for delicious taste pumpkin bread that I made the other day, which is really delicious. I got the recipe from the Real Sustenance website, and she specializes in allergen-free baking, and I really love all of her recipes. And I try to find egg-free recipes because I work with a lot of people who have autoimmune issues, and this one is really great. I can't stop eating it. But before we go there, I will read our disclaimer, and then we'll get into the nitty-gritty. The only purpose of this podcast is to educate and to inform. It is no substitute for professional care by a doctor or other qualified medical professional. This podcast is provided with the understanding that it does not constitute medical advice or services. Instead, we encourage you to discuss your concerns with a licensed healthcare provider. Caitlin Weeks and Mary Vance assume no liability for any of your activities in connection with this podcast. And just a reminder, you can find us online at grassfedgirl.com. That's Caitlin. And Mary Vance NC, like nutritionconsultant.com, is me. And look us up on Facebook. We're both on Facebook, Grassfed Girl and Mary Vance Nutrition. So before we introduce our special guest, Caitlin, tell me what's going on with you and your blog and website and everything else exciting.
Still just plugging away on my ebook, almost done. That should be out soon about Mediterranean paleo cooking. It's really exciting. I have a giveaway on my website for a slow cooker and a slow cooker cookbook by R.C. Vartanian, and she's going to be on our show later on this month, this summer, talking about paleo and babies, and I'm sure we'll get into fertility and stuff like that. And on my blog, I've also been crazy for smoothies. I have all kinds of smoothies with gelatin and also sorbets and popsicles, more popsicles. So check all that out for some summer treats. And I also today I'm going to put up a Mediterranean coleslaw recipe that's similar to what you'd find in my book. So
cool. Yeah, speaking of smoothies, on my website I just wrote a post about protein powder. I called it the protein powder primer, since there's a lot of kind of debate out there in the nutrition community about whether or not to use protein powder and which kind to use. So I talk all about that. And speaking of, again, about smoothies, I love using gelatin in smoothies. And I swear, you know, I've always had pretty strong nails, but it's making my fingernails grow like crazy. And I think my hair too. So who doesn't want strong fingernails and beautiful, luscious, flowing hair? So yeah. Gelatin smoothies are a definite win.
All my smoothies are gelatin. I don't really approve of any, most protein powders like you, so.
Yeah, I used to use them quite a bit, and I've sort of revised my stance. I have a couple of brands that I think are okay. You can read all about it on my blog, but I'm sort of reversing my stance on protein powders because I find a lot of people have pretty hypoglycemic reactions to a lot of them. They can really jack blood sugar in an unfavorable way. So yeah, check that out. And do you want to introduce our special guest or any other news or info that you want to add?
Yes. Well, first, let's all talk about what we had for breakfast. So, Mary, you go first.
Well, as you might have guessed, I had the pumpkin bread that I made, and I also had a gelatin smoothie with fresh peach and frozen blueberries, and I put almond butter, coconut milk, cinnamon, and the Vitality Super Greens from Body Ecology,
right,
which I love. It has spirulina, chlorella, super greens, and it has some gut healing properties to it, too. I think there's L-glutamine and some other demulcent soothing herbs for inflammation in the GI tract. So I really like that one.
Oh, cool. I had eggs scrambled in coconut oil and some olives. I think that's it.
That's exciting.
Yeah, really exciting. And what are you? What about you, Brittany?
Oh, I get to do this too. That's fun. well, I'm like, oh, and by the way, my whole eating habits have changed thanks to you, Caitlin, who like totally flipped my whole world around on food. Thank God. So I have recently, so I've of course cut out the gluten and the corn, but I recently cut out dairy and eggs because I was still having some lethargy in the late afternoon, and that has really changed my life. However, it's more difficult to eat breakfast. So what I usually do is I'll save some leftovers from the night before. So last night I had a big juicy steak. So I had the other half of that this morning, and then I had a really yummy coconut milk smoothie. I live in Mexico and it's really easy to find those kind of things. Just, you know, at your local, they're called fruterias here. So, it was really yummy and delicious.
All right.
Yep.
Well, Brittany I almost think the way we met was, I don't even know. It was some sort of like, cosmic thing. I can't remember, called me off of Yelp or just came by. I used to have a studio on Polk Street where I saw clients, but I now just don't really do that anymore. But she just came by and we started talking, and she was telling me she was starting a new business. She was a weight loss coach and an EFT practitioner, and so we just got to talking, and we became friends really quickly, and we got together a few times. But now she's moved to Mexico and lives there doing her business, which is skinny jeans, and she runs classes, and she has big classes that she runs to get off sugar and to help with emotional eating and food cravings. And I'll let her tell a little bit more about what she does and how she got into all this. Brittany, tell us a little bit more about your background.
Yeah, sure. Well, I think originally how we met was that I used to live on Polk Street, and as soon as I moved in there, it was kind of like it was just right when I started to get really serious about my work. It was like I'd always kind of worked with people, but it was more just like a fun thing. And I decided that I was going to make it a business. And so I would walk by your studio, and I just had this feeling like all the time, like, you've got to go in there, you've got to go in there. And so finally one day I did, or I called you, or I can't remember, but it was cool. It was divine timing. That's for sure.
Yes. So what
I do is, I am an expert in something called emotional freedom techniques, otherwise known as tapping. What that is it's a mind-body technique that combines acupressure, self-applied acupressure, and clinical psychology. It helps people eliminate, in my case, food cravings, emotional eating, binges, negative body image, and all sorts of things around weight and emotions very, very quickly. And so what I am really an expert in is teaching people how to apply this technique when they are tempted by food, or when they are feeling like they want to eat emotionally and they don't know how to kind of deal with their emotional state. That's really what I'm an expert in. One of the reasons that I love this technique so much is not only because it can literally make just such rapid change in a short period of time, but it also empowers people to heal themselves. So once you learn how to use the technique, it's the same repetition, it's the same technique that you keep doing over and over again. And so, you know, it takes, you know, and it's not very difficult to learn. It's really, really simple. And I love the self-empowerment part of it, because you know, like how many times have you been like really, really tempted by a chocolate chip cookie or, you know, the bread basket when you're out at a restaurant and you've, you know, you have to like use your willpower to get through that. And a lot of people will cave. A lot of people will just say, oh, screw it, I'll start tomorrow. And, or, oh, just this little bit won't hurt. Which was my pattern for a very long time, which is why of course I do this. But instead of having that like internal tug of war contest, you can literally do this technique and within 3 to 5 minutes, your whole body will relax and you'll look at the bread on the back, the bread on the table and go, eh, it's no big deal. So, you know, that might sound too good to be true for some people, but that is really the changes that we can make, in a very short period of time using this method.
It is very powerful. I've tried it a few times. I mean, a lot, but it is amazing how fast it does work. So that's why I wanted to have you on. And, you know, Mary has a lot of experience with emotional eating with her clients, and we're just so excited to have you. So, so tell us a little bit more about why EFT is so powerful. Like, what does it do in the body when you're doing the tapping?
Sure, that's a good question. For a long time, we weren't actually sure why it worked so well. And it was always kind of considered this like super woo-woo holistic thing. But just over the last few years, we've been able to get brain imaging devices to show what's actually happening in the brain when you tap. And so In the short answer is that tapping sends a flood of serotonin to the part of the brain that has been wired for cravings and emotional eating. And what the tapping does is that serotonin, it goes to that part of the brain and it actually changes the patterning there. And so it reprograms the neural pathways in your brain. And you know, if you've done any kind of personal development work, you've heard people talk about neural pathways and how visualizing and affirmations will create new neural pathways, you know, when done over and over again. Well, what tapping does is it essentially, it repatterns instantly. And so, you know, you don't have to continue using it in order for it to work. You do it one time and the results are permanent. And basically what it does is it sets everything. It's kind of like pressing the restart button on a computer. You know, when your computer's running really slow and you're like, well, let me just restart it, and everything kind of gears back up again and it's working. It's because you were able to clear out whatever the maybe you had too many programs open or something like that, and it was just running slow. That's essentially what happens around food cravings and emotional eating. Is we've got a lot of stuff and a lot of junk that we accumulate over time based on experiences from our past. You know, we all have things that we go through emotionally that if they are not dealt with properly will kind of live in our unconscious mind and basically cause us to use coping mechanisms. And so people who use food will typically have a lot of things you know, from their past that they haven't dealt with. And so what tapping does is it enables us to go into that part of the brain that has been wired to feel uncomfortable and eat, to say, hey, you know what, we don't actually need to eat anymore. We can feel this uncomfortable feeling. We can reprogram it so that we don't feel that uncomfortable feeling anymore. And then, you know, once you're done tapping, you really do feel this like full body, like release. And so, you know, what it does, it not only releases physical weight, but it really releases emotional weight. And it actually starts first with the emotional weight. And you know, I think people know intuitively that if you have a lot of stuff that's happened in your life that you're holding on to, that will manifest into physical weight. And I have seen that, and I've proven that over and over again with my clients, which is, you know, as soon as we start to address some of the things that they maybe haven't addressed from their past, the weight starts to fall off. And it's just been really incredible to witness.
So I have a question, Brittany. I'm curious about, you mentioned serotonin earlier, and we know that low serotonin, you know, that's the feel-good chemical in the brain that regulates mood and cravings. And I'm wondering then, aside from weight or emotional eating, could this work for depression or alcoholism or any kind of craving where you can kind of reprogram the serotonin in the brain?
Absolutely. And in fact, that's actually one of the benefits of doing this work. There's a phenomenon in the tapping world that basically proves that people who use tapping for certain things, like for instance food cravings and emotional eating, will have a positive spillover in other areas of their life. And so, you know, we're just starting a new mastermind program, and my students from my last mastermind program last year are all reporting that their depression has lifted, their relationships with their husbands are better. Some of them are getting out of jobs that they hated, you know, because they've got more self-confidence and they've got more self-esteem and they have more serotonin running through their body. And so they're able to make better, more healthy decisions. And so absolutely, it's a benefit of using this technique. And there are certainly ways that you can apply it specifically for depression. But what I think is even cooler is to deal with the stuff that's coming up, which is the cravings and the emotional eating, and have the depression lifting, you know, be a benefit.
So going back to emotional eating, tell us a little bit more what you think or what you've seen, how that begins.
Sure. So that's a really great question. I like to use the analogy, you know, I have always looked at emotional eating as an addiction. I struggled with it for half of my life until I was really able to find a solution. And so, you know, just being really committed to finding a solution, I really studied every aspect of addiction. And what I found is that most people who really struggle with emotional eating, or any addiction for that matter, have some quote unquote demons. And this is, you'll hear people say this all the time. Oh, my demons got the best of me. Using myself as an example, when I was 15 years old, I was kicked out of my house. I came home and all my things were on the front porch with a note that said, "You don't live here anymore." And I essentially, like, you know, I lived on the streets for a little while. And then, you know, I made enough money to, you know, rent an apartment, but it, you know, that was tough. And that was really the start of my emotional eating. And so that's what I would call a trauma. And that's a pretty big trauma. You don't have to have something really big like that happen in order to be an emotional eater. But most people who struggle with addiction, and I'm using emotional eating here interchangeably with addiction because I feel like it is that. They will have some sort of something that happened to them in the past that was negative, and that is literally living in their unconscious mind. And until they deal with that traumatic incident, their demons, or I call them, the positive name that I have given them is echoes. I call them little echoes, which is essentially little pieces of you that have been frozen in time that had a traumatic experience and didn't know how to process the emotions at the time. And so what they're doing is they're living in your unconscious mind, warning you of future danger. So they're saying, you know, using myself as an example, anytime that I would be at home by myself, you know, I would want to eat emotionally because my little echo was reminding me of when I was all alone and, you know, I had no family, I had no home to go to. And so they're literally just warning you of, hey, remember this happened, you know, remember that thing that happened last time? That wasn't good. You know, you need to protect yourself. And they think that they're trying to help, but they're really not helping. And what I do with my work is we use tapping to give that little echo a voice and to let the echo know that it's okay, that they're safe now and that the time has passed and, you know, that I'm no longer on the streets anymore and I have a family now. And so, you know, they really need to be dealt with as an actual person. And that's the thing that I think most people, and especially, you know, normal psychotherapists don't deal with, is they don't allow that little inner child that went through that experience to have a voice and to process the emotion. And it's really incredible the changes that people can make in a very, very short period of time when they do this. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. It's
great. Yeah, it makes total sense.
Great information. I have a lot of people who, you know, clients and myself included, you know, when you're in the middle of that kind of like, let's say you just had a fight with your boyfriend or whatever, and then you are just like going to the fridge and you're like gonna eat whatever you can find, right? How do you like stop in that moment and do like take a change of course in that kind of situation?
Well, that is something that took me a very, very long time to find a good solution for. So, you know, for people who know how to use tapping, the answer is a little bit shorter than the one I'll give you. But I developed something, a technique called echo tapping. And in that moment, when you know something happened, which is the fight with the boyfriend is the trigger, right? So there's a trigger there, and that sets off the alarm signal. So the echo will say, hey, there's danger, we need to watch out. So this is all happening in a very unconscious way. And so most of the time, people will say, well, I'm just in the refrigerator and I'm eating and I don't know why. And that was my experience for years and years. Well, what I did, I think I did this with myself, actually, was in the moment when I was eating emotionally and I didn't know why I was eating, I stopped. And there's a period where people who are emotional eaters who have worked on themselves a lot, I call them consciously incompetent, which means they're in the moment, they know they're eating emotionally, they know that's not what they should be doing, but they don't know how to stop. That's different than, oh, yeah, you know, I guess sometimes I overeat, but I'm not really sure. You know, when you know, hey, something just triggered me and I'm going to the refrigerator, you are very conscious. You're consciously incompetent, which just means that you don't have a good tool and a good solution to manage that. But what I discovered is something that I've just been going crazy over, and it's working so well with all of my clients, is in that moment when you're triggered, what you do is you actually push the food away. So you do the opposite of what you want to do, which is you want to, of course, scarf everything down. You push the food away and you ask yourself, okay, how old am I right now? And immediately you just go with the very first thing that comes up, but immediately you will hear something like 8 years old or 10 years old. And then my next question is, okay, so tell me, you know, what's going on, even if I think I'm making it up. And I do this with my clients. So I say, okay, tell me what's going on, even if you think you're making it up. And everyone will immediately go into a story about something. Mom and dad are in the kitchen and they're fighting. And so as they tap through the points, which is the tapping process that I was talking about, they just start to talk about whatever is up for them. And some people feel like they really are making it up, and some people will immediately go back to, you know, something that they weren't, that wasn't in their conscious awareness. But it was a trigger for them. So for instance, you know, having a fight with your boyfriend, there could be something as subtle as the tone in your boyfriend's voice that will trigger a memory from childhood, from your parents fighting. And, you know, even though, you know, you're probably really upset at your boyfriend for something that he did or said, the deeper issue is that trauma, mom and dad fighting when you were 5 years old and feeling really unsafe. And that's the echo, the little echo that's living in your mind that's trying to warn you, hey, this is dangerous. You know, that thing is going to happen again. Didn't you hear his voice? Remember? Remember what happened last time? That was really scary. You felt really unsafe. And so what I discovered is that if people push the food away and they just say, okay, how old am I right now? And they give themselves permission to just talk and to be, you know, and to clear and to feel whatever it is that little part of them couldn't feel in that moment, that literally within about 3 to 5 minutes, they can push the food away and not have a craving anymore.
Would you do tapping at that time?
Absolutely. You have to tap the whole time, because remember, what you're doing is you're implanting the serotonin into the part of the brain that's been affected. So the neural pathways have been programmed to say, hear that scary tone, we need to eat to protect ourselves. So it's actually, I teach my clients and my mastermind students that it's a real gift to be triggered, because that trigger is a doorway into something that needs to be healed in our past. And using this technique, it is so easy to get to. And, you know, it's a little bit uncomfortable, but I say, you know, about 5 to 7 minutes for my mastermind students. I recorded a little MP3 that they all have on their phones or their iPods. So they can just pop that in, and it's me taking them through this technique. Cause there's a little bit of technique that you've got to know how to do this the right way. But again, just like the tapping, once you know how to do it, you can manage your emotional stress in that moment in a really, really easy way.
So listening to this is kind of fascinating, because I'm thinking, you know, I work with a lot of women, and similar to what you were saying, Brittany, is I had an interest in addiction and emotional eating and how all of those manifest. And in my female clients that I help with emotional and binge eating issues, it's almost like they all have the same type A personalities, that they're very hard on themselves, and their emotional eating often time and time again goes hand in hand with binge drinking. And, you know, I always tell them it's not an issue of willpower, because it's literally a physiological issue in the brain and the body. And I'm wondering, for you, in these different tapping techniques, are there, you know, several different tapping methods that you use? Is it the same, or their same questions are coming up, or do you teach people kind of different tapping depending on what triggers are coming up or what they're trying to relieve?
Yes, absolutely. And it's something that I'm actually training coaches now for, like people like you who are in the trenches dealing with this, dealing with these people. You know, you guys need to be empowered with this information, because it is so transformational. But yeah, so I'm an expert in tapping for emotional eating specifically. And the tapping is the same series of acupressure points that you use, but there are different ways to apply it based on certain problems. So for instance, emotional eating, there's a very, very specific technique. You're still tapping the same points, but there's a series of inquiry questions that can get you to the exact core of what the issue is without you having to try to figure it out, you know, because there's always that pressure with a coach, right? You're like trying to analyze your client and ask about their, you know, their life and their past and all of that, trying to connect the dots. Well, this technique, asking them how old they are in that moment, it takes all of the guesswork out, because they tell you. I mean, I've never had a client say, I don't know, there's nothing coming up. I've never had it. Everyone can do this technique. And so I would say, you know, for you guys, just kind of start playing with it. Start there saying, okay, you know, and I don't know, I still eat emotionally from time to time, or stuff still comes up for me when I'm triggered. And so this is the thing that I use on myself. Okay, how old am I right now? What is this coming up? Oh, okay, it's an ex-boyfriend thing that I haven't dealt with yet. All right, let's tap through that. So, So yes, that's a long answer to your short question, which is yes, there are different ways to apply it. And that's why there are experts in tapping for specific problems, because tapping works for everything. I mean, you can use tapping for pain. You can use tapping for a fear of flying. And there are so many different ways that you can apply it that people will usually specialize in one thing. So I have specialized in tapping for emotional eating, and so that's what I teach now. And so not only do I teach people how to use it for themselves, but I also teach coaches and psychotherapists how to use it in their practice to help their clients get, you know, really, really rapid results. I'm also going to start to teach, to train addiction recovery centers, with this method as well. It's called echo tapping. Because, you know, people can do the same thing with alcohol or with cigarettes. as long as when they feel tempted, all they have to do is literally push their vice away. And somebody has to ask them, okay, how old are you right now? And so it's the same method, but you can use it for lots of different problems.
I wanted
so cool.
Go ahead. I wanted.
I was just gonna say how cool it is.
Yes, it's very cool. So I wanted to ask about. I feel like for me and for many of the people I've worked with in the past, that stress is always a big issue, and you know, eating during stress. And how can EFT help with stress?
Oh, that's a really great question. Well, stress, again, is a trigger, right? There is something in your environment that is causing you to feel stressed. You don't just wake up and all of a sudden feel stressed. You start to think about things, right? You've got your inbox is overflowing. You're giving a new talk and you've never talked about this topic before. You know, your boss is... you know, coming down on you. Like there's always a trigger. And again, this goes back to, you know, my theory about there being echoes. So you cannot feel stressed. Like a baby doesn't know how to feel stressed because they've never been in a stressed environment. So really stress is just a physical manifestation of something that has not been dealt with in your past. But one of the ways, you know, just for you guys, if you guys know how to use tapping, or for anyone who's listening to this who knows how to use tapping, one of the things that I like to do for stress is I like to, when you're feeling stressed, it's like a bundle of energy is kind of like building up in your body. And so what I do is when I can, if I'm home alone, I'll like run around my house tapping and screaming about what I'm stressed about, like, oh, I'm just going nuts right now. And I'm going to pull my freaking hair out. I can't take this anymore. You know, but while you're tapping, because tapping again is it's sending the flood of serotonin to that part of the brain that has been wired to feel stressed. And what that does is it just allows the energy to move out of your body. And I guarantee if you do that a couple of times around something that triggers you over and over again, you will notice that you will no longer be triggered or feel stressed in that certain situation. So that's just a really simple thing that anyone can do. Like literally just run around your house screaming about what you're stressed about while you tap on the acupressure points. You just do that for like 2 or 3 minutes and you'll probably feel like you need to take a nap afterwards.
That's a good idea.
That's really powerful, actually. That you bring up a really interesting point about. And I see this over and over again, are people beating themselves up or blaming themselves and just pushing it away, and you're not allowing that energy to surface.
Yep.
Or deal with it when it comes out. And is that kind of what you're describing, is you bring up these certain trigger points in your past, and then is it the tapping that actually helps you reconcile, or do you need a therapist there to do this with you, or can you kind of...
No, that's
do it yourself.
Yeah, that's a do-it-yourself technique, and I teach all my students how to do this. I tell them to do it in their cars on their way to work, or any place that you've got like your own enclosed space where you can just let it rip and you know, not feel embarrassed, right? Because you know, as you were saying, Mary, a lot of women who are the type A personalities, who have high stress jobs, high stress life, they like a lot of intensity in their lives. Certain type of personality profile that carry their energy in their third chakra, which is around their stomach. And what those types of people have learned to do is really temper themselves, because they were told it's not okay to have those emotions. They were probably very strong children growing up, and they may have overreacted or been too big, too much. They might have heard a lot of things like that in childhood. And so they learned how to temper their emotions. But what that means is that they've learned to tune themselves down. And that's actually really it's not helpful, and it's really stressful on the body. And so one of the things that I always teach all of my clients to do who have this very type A strong personality is to just let themselves, when they feel that restriction, like that anger or that stress is just a manifestation of energy that needs to move in the body. You know, most people feel stress in their stomach, and that's the third chakra. And the third chakra is all about willpower, inner power, personal power. And so what you're doing when you feel stressed is you're trying to temper it using your willpower in your tummy, which is why so many people carry stress in their tummy. And so instead of trying to push it back and willpower and say, trying to push through those emotions, just let it freaking rip. And even if you just scream and you don't tap, I always think tapping is, you're going to make a lot more changes if you tap while you scream. So I always recommend to tap while you scream. But if you don't know where the tapping points are, you can just scream and get that energy out of your body. And I guarantee if you're somebody who likes to eat emotionally or who does eat emotionally, just doing that, you will notice a huge, huge change in your eating patterns.
Brittany, can you say also though a little bit about how, you know, you're mentioning triggers in the past, but I'm curious, how does dieting play a role in this? You know, deprivation, or are there certain foods that you think help people in this whole process of kind of tapping and coming to terms with their past?
Certainly. I mean, when I deal with someone who's been an emotional eater for most of their life and they've been dieting and eating the wrong foods, I prepare them that it's going to take about a year to reprogram all these bad behaviors. Because, you know, while I do specialize in the emotional eating aspect of it, I cannot deny that, you know, certain foods will trigger emotional eating. And I mean, Caitlin is my witness. You know, she watched my transformation from, you know, me being really sick and I was still eating emotionally then, even though I was an emotional eating coach. You know, eating the wheat and the genetically modified foods was still triggering me to eat emotionally. And so, you know, definitely the diet, the deprivation, that's a whole nother trigger, that needs to be dealt with separately. And so, you know, you need to really address each area. And I think, you know, as practitioners, you just need to figure out what it is that that person is doing that's causing them, that is causing them to have these reactions. So typically what I try to cover the gamut. And so in the beginning, when I first start working with a client, I'll introduce craving tapping and we tap down their cravings, but then I get them to stop dieting, to start eating the foods that they like, you know, the more like mindful eating kind of thing. And then we go into the heavy emotional work, which is dealing with all their echoes from the past and all the demons and all the traumas that they have gone through. And then in the end, that's when we start to take, you know, that's when we start to teach the nutrition aspect. Okay, you know, if you have the option, these are the foods that are going to be healthier for you, that will really, you know, and my clients, once they get to that point where they really do change the food, they get off of the GMOs and all of that. I mean, those are the people when they pair that with the heavy emotional work that make the biggest transformations. In my last mastermind program, we ran the gamut and we did all of this stuff. And I think we had like 68% of the people who were in the program lost at least 10 pounds or more. We had some that lost 15, 60 pounds. The average was, I think, 23, which is unheard of for a weight loss program. Unheard of.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So it's all connected and it does take, you know, I've been at this for, you know, 10 freaking years. And I mean, I know we've all worked on our own stuff. I mean, that's why we do this. So it's definitely not a transformation that happens overnight. However, I can say that when you use the tapping and you deal with the emotional baggage from the past, those are changes that can literally transform people overnight. But you also have to do the other work too. You know, you have to get off the diet foods. You have to, you know, educate yourself so you know how to eat healthy.
I wanted to talk a little bit about exercise addiction and you know, over-exercising. I know you have some experience with that. And how does that play into this whole cycle of eating emotionally and kind of self-loathing?
Yes. Well, you were so kind and gentle to bring that up to me several times when we started working together. And yes, I had that. I did the over-exercise thing where I was running marathons and all of that. And that's part of the reason that I've been in Mexico is I've been trying to recover from, you know, 5 years of being a vegetarian and running 5 miles a day. So it's not my specialty because I admit that I'm still working on my own stuff around that. However, what I've noticed is that once I stopped, you know, I had a full crash. I mean, my body literally just wouldn't function anymore. I stopped getting my period for 6 months. It was really, really bad.
So you had kind of an adrenal.
Yeah. Adrenal. Yeah. Adrenal burnout, adrenal fatigue. So what I did was I just started walking, and it was something that was really hard for me as a type A, you know, strong personality, overachiever person to learn how to just exercise like by walking. But it was a lesson that I had to learn. And I have spiritual kind of beliefs about why I needed to learn that. But I mean, I definitely think there's a huge link between, you know, people who struggle with emotional eating and overexercising because you're burning all that extra sugar. And this is a topic that I am not by any means an expert in. I just can speak from my own experience. So now what I do for exercise is I go for long walks on the beach with my dog in the morning. And I do some weight training, and that really helps me. I feel great. I look good. I have a healthy relationship to food. It all feels really balanced now.
Well, that can also be kind of a meditation time for you as well, right?
Yep, it is. And that's what I do. I walk and I have this little tree stump. It's like I don't know how it got there, but it's a tree stump literally sitting, coming out of the middle of the sand. And I look at the water and I listen to like cool music. And yeah, and so that really helps me set myself up for my day, coming from a relaxed state. And, you know, I've definitely attracted the clients that were like me, you know, 3 years ago that are like running 5 miles a day and super like over adrenalized, or I don't even know what that word is, but yeah. Like, you know, and they don't want to hear, oh, you need to go for a long walk and meditate every morning. You know, they don't want to hear that. And I didn't want to hear that. Because there is, I feel like there is an addiction to the chemicals, the neurotransmitters that I was producing from the heavy exercise. I really, that was another aspect of my addiction that I was not ready to give up, which was, dude, I feel freaking amazing after a 5 mile run every morning. You know, don't tell me to meditate over that.
That is, if I had a dollar for every time I've heard my clients who come to me as marathon runners, and I have said the same thing to them. You know, you're burning yourself out. Because these women who are training for marathons, their cortisol is going crazy, and they're actually gaining weight.
Yep.
And I find that most of them don't so much care about the marathon as much as they do. They want to run as far as possible, and they're getting high off the endorphins, but they also just want to lose weight.
Yep.
And so, you know, the common wisdom is you need to calm down and stop overtraining. But these are people who find their relaxation through movement and have trouble sitting stationary for a long period of time and quieting their minds, which is why I think something that involves movement or, you know, some type of quieting the mind that doesn't involve forcing yourself to sit quiet and empty your thoughts is so fascinating, and it would work so well for that personality type.
Oh, yeah. But like everybody that told me to do yoga or walk, you know, over running my 5 miles, I wanted to punch them in the face. You know, and it, so it wasn't until I literally, you know, I went through the body breakdown that I was willing to say, okay, I physically can't do that anymore. And if I do, you know, just even today, I went for a walk on the beach and it's a little bit hot. It's like, it's getting pretty hot down here and I can feel fatigue. Like I pushed myself a little too hard today. And so, you know, I have had to relearn what my body can handle, and really, really pull back on that a lot. But one of the things that worked well for me too, when I was still kind of like trying the, when I was, you know, if somebody isn't full on into adrenal failure like I was, one of the exercises that I really love to do when I have the energy for it is running in the water. That has just been so cool for me because you're not that force. You don't have that heavy force on your hips and on all your joints, but you still have to use like a lot of your body's energy and your body's force. So I just started doing that in the beach here, but you know, you can do it in pools or wherever. So you just kind of like walk or run back and forth in the water. So that was a good kind of like medium, like halfway point for me when I was coming down off the running neurotransmitters or whatever that is.
You know, something I was wondering too, I wanted to ask you about, obviously with certain substances like drugs or alcohol, people can avoid those. Obviously we can't avoid food forever. Yep. Do you find that through tapping that people are able to even include foods that were previously trigger foods that might be enjoyable, say like dark chocolate, which has healing benefits, and it's possible for anything to be a trigger food. Can you get to a point where you can include trigger foods back into your diet, or is it about tapping to avoid them completely?
No. So the purpose of tapping, that's a great question. The purpose of tapping is to neutralize the emotional response to the food, so that food is just food. It's not mom's love, or it's not my 10th birthday party. Because what I've noticed happens is that people, if you think about, and this is just a good, cool exercise for everybody to do. So think about your favorite trigger food. So if that's chocolate, ice cream, French fries, potato chips, you know, whatever that food is that like, if it's in the house, you know, you're going to eat it. So think about that food for a minute. And then I want you to remember and ask yourself, what is the first memory that you have of eating that food? And most people will go back to a time earlier in childhood where they were eating that food with someone that they loved, or during a time that was really positive for them, you know? And so like, you know, I mean, everybody has stuff come up like ice cream. Oh yeah. Every Sunday, my family and I, we used to go out and get ice cream, and it was like, you know, we didn't have a lot, or, you know, but we got that special treat on every, you know, Sunday, or, you know, coming home from school and mom always used to bake fresh chocolate chip cookies, you know? I mean, there's all these sorts of memories, positive memories that we have around food. And so what happens is when we're triggered, when we are stressed now as an adult, what happens is our unconscious mind will go, ooh, remember the cookies, those chocolate chip cookies? Let's have some of those so that we feel really good. Because when you eat the cookies, you are not only feeling really good because, well, let's face it, cookies are just good, but you also have another layer of emotions that are programmed into those cookies as well, which is mom's love, feeling really safe, feeling really happy, feeling connected to the family, giving yourself a treat. And this literally gets stuck. I say that the feelings get stuck in the food. And so in my craving tapping that we do, what we do is we pull the emotions out of the food. We literally, like with our hands, we think about the food that we crave. We literally gather up all the good feelings and all the emotions. We bring it into our heart and then send it from our heart to the heart of whoever we used to eat it with. And then we connect that way. We connect the good feelings with that person versus with the food. Because that's really what's going on, is that, you know, when you're feeling really stressed, you could use a, you know, a good dose of mom's love and mom's nurturing, right? That would make you feel really good. And so you're on the subconscious, your subconscious mind's way of getting that feeling is by eating the cookies. And so essentially what ends up happening is once you take the emotions out of the food and you give them back to the person they came from, the food just becomes food. And so you can have a couple squares of dark chocolate without feeling like you need to have the whole bar, because now it's chocolate. It's not mom's love. Does that make sense?
No, it totally makes sense. And I wanted to just throw in too that what you're mentioning is food is nourishment, not nurturing.
Yes. But see, in our subconscious mind, especially, you know, it's so easy for people to get programmed to eat food to feel good. I mean, if you think about it, from the time we're babies, when we cried, our mom would feed us. And I actually have a class tonight, which is the last week of Reboot Camp, which is my 6-week program. I literally have everybody on the call eat lettuce for dinner. They come to the call hungry. And then they eat lettuce. And then I just, you know, I talk them through this whole like process where they literally eat lettuce. They are so pissed at me. Oh my gosh. You know, they want to literally fight me. Because what's happening is they're bringing up all of the deprivation, like, you know, and it's usually pre-verbal deprivation. So from the time we are babies, we are literally programmed to, we feel bad, mom feeds us. And, you know, in order to go to sleep, we've got to have a full belly. And so some of these things, you know, with certain people, and I, you know, I still don't know why it happens for certain people and not others, but people who have this, who are prone to this addiction to food, will typically have these early childhood pre-verbal experiences of just feeling really comforted by mom's love. And by food specifically, or by just nursing and having a full belly and being able to go to sleep. So, I mean, it's all combined. It's really, you know, people who are able to like willpower through it, like Caitlin, I mean, I've always been so surprised. I'm always so shocked by people who can lose a bunch of weight and completely transform their lives without knowing how to use tapping, because I was never able to make those changes without using tapping to address the emotional aspect of it. So, you know, it's certainly a tool that can help, you know, the process. There are certain logical decisions that you have to make as well, like changing your food and eating slower and all that kind of stuff. But
well, I just use exercise addiction, so. That's all. I want to know, I mean, I'm over that now, but I used to, that's how I did it originally. Yeah. But I wanted to know about what a lot of my clients, like I've introduced them to EFT. I've done a demo. I've made a video a long time ago and I showed them the video. I also did it with them. And a lot of them would use it at first, and they liked it, and they found it to be helpful, but it just seemed like they wouldn't stick with it, or they found it, you know, they couldn't do it in public, so it was hard to make it work. How do you help people around that issue?
Well, I mean, that's totally understandable. Like, you look like a complete whack job when you're standing in a corner hitting your face, so I guess... totally get that.
You'd fit in here in San Francisco. You'd look normal.
Right, exactly. So if you're anywhere but San Francisco, what I have done is I've created secret tapping spots. So there's these little spots actually at the tip of your fingers that you can just tap lightly, and you can do that under a table. You can kind of just do it without anybody noticing. And so the finger spots are connected to the meridians that are on the face and on the body. So you can manage your cravings in a public situation very easily by using these little finger tapping spots. So that's one thing. The second thing is that I think people have to have a really powerful experience with it. which is why it's so important to learn tapping from people who are considered experts in that technique. And so, you know, there's a lot to learn. Like, it's an awesome technique that's really easy and, you know, it's simple to teach. And if the person doesn't have a huge transformation around something in their first session, they won't really see the power in it. And so I always like to introduce it to people with a food craving, because cravings are so awesome because they're so measurable, right? Like, in 1 minute they're salivating over this chocolate bar, and in like 5 or 10 minutes they're giving it back to me with this funny look on their face like, huh, I don't want it, but I don't know why I don't want it anymore, but I don't want it. And, you know, once you say, hey, why don't you keep that chocolate with you and just notice over the next week if you're tempted by it, you kind of have to check in with them, because the changes that happen with tapping are so deep that the person will literally forget that they ever had the problem to begin with. And so part of that is it falls on the practitioner's back, which is you've got to check in with them. Hey, how's that chocolate doing? What was last week like? Did you keep it in the house? Did you feel tempted? You know, most of the time you have to ask them the question, because they won't even remember it. Like, they'll just be like, oh, dude, it was in my refrigerator and I just didn't even think about it until you brought it up. And it's like, wow, that's freaking awesome. But because there was no temptation and it wasn't a struggle, they're just not conscious of it. So, and that's just something for me, because I've literally worked with this technique for 15 years and I've studied it quite a bit. Like, I've had to train myself to do. And I have to tell people, my clients, to take before and after shots of what's going on for them. So I have a really, really in-depth questionnaire that they fill out before and after my programs, because the changes that happen are in the program are so deep that most of them like can't even remember all the problems that they had when they started. Yeah. And so I like to give them the before and after shot so that they can see the transformation.
Can you give us an example, Brittany, possibly, of just something simple that, you know, our listeners can do right now to stop a craving? Or do you have to kind of start and build up there? Or is there something, if you, you know, haven't gone through an official process with this, or is there a simple technique or a simple tap that people could employ right away?
Yeah, actually, if you go, the craving tapping is the one that I always teach people how to do. And I say that is like, it's one of the most powerful tools to learn how to do, to use, because, you know, we all have cravings so often. And there's a really, really comprehensive and also simple at the same time worksheet that you can get by going to my website. It's free. You can download it. So my website is my name. It's brittanywatkins.com. I think you guys initially said it was skinnyjeans.net, but it's not that. So they have to go to brittanywatkins.com, and it'll say download tapping scripts to help you lose weight and love your body. So download that free book, and it'll teach you how to do the tapping for your food cravings, and it'll also give you a whole bunch of examples of things that you can tap for. So like eating at night or feeling stressed at work, there's all these certain things that you can use the tapping, and you can say out loud, and you can have a real, real big shift for yourself. So just totally for free. I have people tell me all the time. I was at this conference last week and people were coming up to me going, oh my gosh, I've lost like 15 pounds just by reading your emails. And I'm like, wow, that is really cool. Okay. Awesome. You don't actually have to, I mean, it always helps people, you know, you don't have to work with someone in order to get a really deep transformation is the point there. So yeah, you can go to my website and download that book, and it'll teach you how to do tapping for food cravings.
I think that's the point for me, is like, people always want an easy answer, and there is no easy answer. You really have to do the work and be committed to making changes in your life. And I mean, a lot of them can be fun and it can be very rewarding, but it's not just a magic pill. And I think that's what people always want in our culture.
Yes.
Oh yeah, totally. And well, the thing I love about this is just bringing up past emotional trauma, and to be fully, you know, I tell people holistic wellness means that you're identifying not only what you're eating, but also the emotions behind it, and your exercise, and there can be imbalances in all three of those, you know, emotional, physical, exercise, spiritual. So that's what I really love about this. But I want to ask also, you know, I want you to tell everybody where they can find you and what your programs are, and do you have training for practitioners, or tell us a little bit more about how people can connect with you.
Yeah, sure. Twice a year I offer a 6-month mastermind program, which is, has two tracks. There's one for personal transformation. So if you're just a person who wants to really get a handle on your emotional eating and your food cravings, and you've done some personal development work, you know, that would definitely be an amazing, amazing program for you. It's a 6-month program. I pair everybody up with a buddy, so you get like an instant BFF. It's called the Break Free Forever Mastermind Program. For short, we call it the BFF Mastermind. And literally you get an instant BFF who is like literally she's kind of like your accountability buddy, to keep you on track and to do some extra work throughout the program with, in addition to weekly classes that I conduct, that, you know, go into all the things that we were talking about today. We do actual, tapping exercises with food, and it's a really, really cool, transformational program. In the end, there's a 4-week nutrition class too, which is teaching all the principles that you guys teach. So you do 16 weeks of really, really intense personal transformation work, and then 4 weeks of nutrition school. And then a lot in that same track, there's a coach certification program. And so people who are practitioners, who are in the health or the wellness industry, who are personal trainers, anybody who wants to help people lose weight, their biggest problem is usually emotional eating and not knowing how to help their clients deal with that. And so I offer a certification for people who are in the personal development space who want to really, really take their business to the next level to help their clients get really lasting transformation in the arena of emotional eating. So there's also a 16-week program for that, which you get the coach training program, and then you also can be a part of the personal transformation just so that you can hear how I work with clients. So I'm teaching you how to work with your students, and we do some demonstrations in the coach training, and then you can see me actually put that into action with the personal transformation group. And then there's a 4-week business school at the end of that as well. So they're both 6-month programs. That's the longer program that I have. If you just want to like get your toes wet and you're like, oh, what's this girl all about? What's her work like? I'd like to have an experience. I have a 6-week program called Reboot Camp that I'm just now in the 6th week of. I launch that maybe once a year, twice a year, something like that. I'm not sure when I'm going to offer it next, so you just have to get on my list and wait for me to announce it. But the mastermind program, the 6-month mastermind program, is actually happening. It's going to start July 24th or July 25th. So it's coming up in the next couple weeks.
And all your classes are online, so anyone can do them from anywhere, right?
Yeah. I have people, 30% of the people on my list are from other countries. So I try to pick times that everybody, you know, doesn't matter what your time zone is, it's a kind of feasible time for you to get on a call. So yeah, everything is done via teleseminar. If you can't make the live calls, there's an instant recording that you can download all the information. We have a Facebook group and a really supportive environment for that. So,
well, that sounds wonderful, Brittany. I hope some people will reach out and get into your programs, because I think they would really help people. We are so happy that you've joined us and tell us a little bit more about EFT and emotional eating. You find Brittany at brittanywatkins.com. And we are going to be having some great upcoming guests. We have our next show is about how to get into the nutrition and wellness industry. We always have people asking us about how to become nutrition consultants and how to become nutritionists. So we are going to be answering your questions about that. So that should be exciting. And then the next one, we're going to have Dr. Kalish, who is very well known for women's health and hormones. We're going to be talking all about how to balance your hormones. So that should be a great show. And please leave us a review in iTunes and share our show with your friends who need it. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, I learned so much, Brittany. I want to thank you. all of my clients about this, and I've talked about EFT for a while. I hadn't really gotten into it. I pretty much just referred and send them to references that I found online, but I am really excited to hear the nitty-gritty of it, and I want to thank you so much for coming on our show.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you, guys, and thanks for doing what you do, because people, there are just so many people that need your information as well. So right back at you. It's so great to chat with you guys.
All right. Well, keep in touch. Thanks, Brittany.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.